What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave Cone, along with Mike Dettillier, with you here on the 22nd of January, 2025, day two of going nowhere across South Louisiana. The interstates remain closed. The vast majority of bridges and overpasses remain closed. The airport, not a single flight taking off or landing today. And now we are below freezing again across the region as we brace for one more night of potentially hard freeze conditions, possible pipe bursting before we start to get back to normal, but really don't see everything cleaned up, cleared out, and ready to go until Friday. Mike, who would have thunk we'd ever be here in southeast Louisiana talking about blizzards, a foot to a foot and a half of snow, days of snow removal and icing and de-icing and all the other things we've had to talk about?
Wasn't on my dance card, I can guarantee you. They say it's a once-in-a-lifetime event, but again, you and I talked about this, that, you know, we've seen certainly changes in our weather throughout the years, and that there's a lot of, you know, data. This has gone on throughout the start of time with it, but there is something changing here, and there are some models that saying expecting another type of event possibly happening the first week in February down here in South Louisiana again.
Well, you know, we have the Super Bowl that week.
Yeah, you would figure. But there are some models that are saying that we could have another one of these type events. Listen, I'm a country boy. I do know one thing. People say, oh, lightning don't strike twice in the same place. You full of heart's hooey, because I done seen it hit the same spot five or six different times, almost the exact same spot. So we're seeing some changes in our weather. If we're seeing the strengthening of storms as it gets close to the coast, the tornadic attitude, you and I talked about it before, that, you know, we saw small tornadoes. Now we're seeing upper level ones happening in South Louisiana.
Yeah, Midwest type tornadoes.
Yes. And now these type of weather events happening, if it happens a second time, and that'll really be something, but at least you have been through it before. But man, this is the first time I've ever said it, that I had over 8.5 inches of snow at my house on the bayou. That I've never been able to say that. Now I'm 60 something years old, so it's been a while since that occurred.
NOPD today warned of large chunks of falling ice coming off of downtown skyscraper buildings.
Yes.
Yeah, large chunks.
Even at your home, you better be careful when you're walking.
Don't slam your front door if you have a pitched roof, because all of that snow and ice can come off all at once.
No question about it, and I've seen it around my house, so I can tell you for a fact that I did see it come down.
I'd love to hear what Bobby Hebert thinks of all this, so let's bring in the Cajun Cannon now here on WWL. Bobby, how you making out in this winter storm like we haven't seen in over 130 years here in Louisiana?
Well, staying inside and obviously not having to go to work, I feel fortunate that, you know, as long as you have electricity and you have the creature conference and you have water and all that. I like to read. I'm one that's not bored. I can read a good book. I'm reading Fareed Zakaria's, Age of Revolutions, The Progress and the Backlash from 1600 to the Present. And, he's on CNN every Sunday. Boy, talk about a well-read individual. I think his background is from Egypt. But he's on at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. He knows a lot of history, and I love history. And you know, there's nothing new under the sun when you look at different things that occur in society. So that's what I'm reading, so that's what's keeping me entertaining. But I can tell you what, from a logistical standpoint, that'd be the worst nightmare for the NFL for something like this to hit. You know, all the events they have the week of the Super Bowl. Can you imagine the day of the Super Bowl? Nobody can go to the game.
I guarantee you, if this happens again, Super Bowl week, the NFL will have not 40 plows down here from Indiana and Arkansas. 200. They'll have 400 plows down here, and they will make sure that we are cleared out and ready to go. There was a blizzard in New York when the game was up there, remember?
Yeah.
And they made it work.
Yeah, so. They'd have to get the equipment down. You're right. They would definitely, it'd be a national emergency, not just a local emergency. But realistically, when you look at the map, and, you know, everyone wants to build these new stadiums and have Super Bowls all over the country. But you're going to have it still in winter, just the way the football schedule falls. The only places you can have, if you're dealing now with snow, Super Bowls, you know where the weather's nice right now? In Phoenix. So in Arizona, Phoenix and Miami, you definitely could have, you wouldn't have to worry about the snow in Miami or Phoenix. Even though I say that, I remember having training camp in 1985 in Mesa, Arizona, the Oakland Invaders, because we were playing in the spring and summer, and we had training camp in February, and it snowed like a couple of inches. And can you imagine going through training camp 2 days and it's snowing? So that was a little shock to the body versus you dealing with the heat in the summer. But you know, you can have something like this in Los Angeles. Let's say the Super Bowl was at SoFi, but the fires, not necessarily the snow, with the fire. So, that's something the NFL definitely pays attention to. You know, they always try and stay one step ahead. But, you never think this would happen in New Orleans. And you know what's crazy? And I think this is correct outside. I don't think the record's been broken. The coldest Super Bowl in Super Bowl history was actually in New Orleans at Tulane Stadium.
1972.
Yeah, the coldest. You know, people would not guess. Where is the coldest Super Bowl? Good for you, Dave. You're right on top of that. It does get cold here.
It was 39 degrees at kickoff. So that was
the coldest Super Bowl. When you think of that. But obviously you wanted ideal conditions of play.
All right, let me test both your knowledge then. Where was the second coldest Super Bowl ever played?
Was that in New York, maybe? I don't
know. It was also in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
46 degrees at Tulane Stadium was the second coldest outdoor Super Bowl. So
that's why even, you know, like cities like Chicago and all, they all won Super Bowls. And but the bottom line is that you have to have an indoor stadium. Or you can have one with a retractable roof, you know, these billion-dollar stadiums. But I can remember when I was living in Atlanta, I couldn't even go to events because of ice on the road, the black ice. The year that the Super Bowl was Dallas, the Cowgirls were playing the Buffalo Bills. And I couldn't go to I lived in North Atlanta, North Fulton County in Alpharetta, and I couldn't drive to Buckhead. I had to do a couple of events then because of the black ice on the road. So it has been hindered before Super Bowl events, dealing with the cold weather. But that's something they want to avoid. They would like to have it more like New Orleans can be in the winter or what you have in Miami and Phoenix. And that's one reason why I think earlier on we're going back and forth where it seems like we'd have a Super Bowl every 4 years in New Orleans like Miami. You know, who's going to have the record? But now I think the competition is so stiff. We probably will be in the hunt always, but it'd be like once every 10 years instead of once every 4 years. But, you know, dealing with cold weather, I can remember this is a funny story when, I lived here. I'm from Baie Lafourche, like Mike, 50 miles south of New Orleans. And I went to school in Natchitoches, North Louisiana, which actually the day I got married, it actually snowed. I got a couple of stories, and I never forget. It was January 15th, 1982, And I registered for school that morning. And I remember, my good friend Mike Camden and his wife, he played linebacker for us. We double date and all that. And he says, "Well, what are y'all going to do tonight? You know, everything." I says, "Oh, we're getting married. Y'all want to come?" And then, so I had to deal with the roads and actually, got married when it snowed in Sabine Parish. I never forget that in 1982. And another quick story, playing in Michigan and living there in 83 and 84, I never forget, I called up my dad and I said, "Well, Dad, it's snowing now." And the reason why it was unusual, it was May the 11th. It was May the 11th and it snowed 9 inches. And he goes, "Well, I'm down in cutoff. I'm in my Bermuda shorts." Everything. And here I am. Here I am worried about trying to get my car out, from the driveway and having to shovel. I said, it was kind of funny because I was, kind of clearing out my driveway or just my walkway in front of my house. I said, "Well, I don't have a snow shovel or anything." So I got a dustpan. So I said, that's my Cajun snow shovel, my dustpan.
Bobby Hebert out there with a dustpan shoveling the walkway. How many scoops of dustpan snow did it take you?
Yeah, well, it took me. I got my heart rate up, so I guess that was my workout for today. And when I went to do that, and then here I am. I'm shoveling the snow. One of my neighbors looked at me like I was crazy. "What are you doing?" I go. He goes, "Oh no!" I said, "This is my this is my Kunas snow shovel."
All right. Well, we're going to get the Kunas's thoughts on the Super Bowl coming up next, and on the coach's search for your New Orleans Saints. We'll let him go read a few more pages of Fareed Zakaria's Age of Revolutions while we take a brief time out, get you caught up on traffic, and then we're back with Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier here on WWL right after this. Another night of potentially pipe-bursting freezing conditions. We are now below freezing again on both sides of the lake and all the way down to the bayou as officials urge people, please stay home again tonight as we still have the interstates, the bridges, the roads icing over once again. Nearly everything is shut down and closed, and we've got to get through another frigid night in this history-making event that has seen more snowfall accumulate here in South Louisiana than anyone alive has seen. The last time we had this kind of snow on the ground was back in 1895. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Mike Dettillier and Bobby Hebert. And Bobby, we heard today that Aaron Glenn took the job as the New York Jets head coach. What does that mean for the New Orleans Saints and their coaching search as we've seen things pushed back a day or two in some of these in-person interviews because of the snowstorm?
Well, I want to comment on Aaron Glenn before I get to... Well, I think what direction the Saints might go, or which I think would be in their best interest. I never really looked at Aaron Glenn as the next coach for the Saints. Not that I don't like Aaron Glenn. I think he's very highly capable, and I think he'll be outstanding, I think, for the Jets. But it had been kind of the same thing like Dennis Allen 2.0. The defensive schemes you run, you could tweak things up, but it's like who you're around, who you're coaching with. And then, but one thing I think Coach Glenn would have over Dennis Allen, just how he relates to the players. Because, players, especially these modern-day players, they really respect coaches that have been there, done that. They've actually played. And you look at Aaron Glenn, he's the number one draft pick with the Jets and all the success he had. I'm going to say he played like 14, 15 seasons. So he's well recognized in New York and as far as leading their team, but I don't know. The Jets are dysfunctional. I think that the Saints are more stable as far as the organization than the New York Jets. What's going to come about with the quarterback for them with Aaron Glenn? But, when I look at Aaron Glenn, I don't know. Will he have success? And to show you that it's more the perception that what he can do when he's in charge, whatever, but it was nothing if you look, he turned it around really defensively and got recognized more this season in 2024. Similarly, all the injuries, they want to say, I want to say for sure it was six, if not seven starters that were put on injured reserve in the 2024 season. And he navigated all that, losing those top players to have the number seven scoring defense. And so that's hard. You know, you can have – they can't score on you, and the offense that they had, the best offensive line, that didn't surprise me that the Lions ended up being the number one seed. But you have to look also with prior to that, what happened the 24th season. England's defense is – they regularly finish near the bottom.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For the NFL, and it's not an opinion, that's what happened. In total, they were ranked 29th, dead last, 32nd, and 19th. And then you look at scoring defense, they were one before last, 28th and 23rd. Now, what have you done for me lately? Like I just mentioned, in 24, no, he matured more as a D coordinator because he was with the Saints. He was like the defensive back coach, and really they all respected him for that. So, and like I said, I think Aaron Glenn can have success. He's a minority hire, which the NFL loves, an opportunity for him. And he's well thought of in New York, and he has a lot of ties with the Jets organization. So that didn't surprise me there. I said that probably, I don't know, two and a half weeks ago, that he'd be a better fit with the Jets than to come with the Saints. Now, the one thing, the next coach, you know, with the Saints. And this is coming from the Mickey Loomis press conference. You know, you go to his press conference, does he really say anything? You know, it's so generic. He's really cautious about what he says. But I got out of it, though, with this is a statement, a couple of statements he made. He said that that the franchise, that he said, you know, all the evaluation that's taking place with the different coaches and all that, he said the next coach would have a large say in the franchise's direction. You know, like, are we rebuilding? Are we blowing it up? Whatever. So I thought that was interesting. The next coach will have a huge impact in what direction the franchise is going. Then he went on to say the next coach will have input on key decisions, such as whether to keep Derek Carr quarterback or not. Whether it's a full rebuilding or a full rebuild is necessary, and where even they're going to be holding training camp next year. Well, since they didn't have success in Irvine, I think they're going to be right there on Airline Highway. But whoever this head coach is, they're going to have a lot of input. Now, I think if you're looking at stability and – you know, the bottom line is before you get to the Super Bowl, we got to be relevant and win the NFC South or at least be a wild card and go to the playoffs. So you have to win double digits. I think Mike McCarthy would be the guy. if you look at all, a lot of young people say, "Oh, I don't want no old fart. I want a young coach. I want, how about Joe Brady? You know, 35 years old. Let's get somebody like that." But Joe Brady's only led like three off, he's been offensive coordinator like for 3 years and stuff. But I look at Coach McCarthy, he already won a Super Bowl as the Green Bay coach. And if you look at his Dallas teams, and this is hard to do because I know I was part of two teams that won 12 games, won 11 games. That's hard to do. And even though they didn't win anything in Dallas, he had three straight seasons, not this past season, but they won 12 games, three straight seasons. So that means you're in the hunt, you're relevant. And so if you look at him, even his Dallas teams, they were 84-49 in his five seasons. I think right now Mickey Loomis and all would, and Ms. Gale would take that. And ultimately you want to win Super Bowls once you win a Super Bowl. But that's a pretty impressive record. Now, I know in the playoffs he was only 1-3, but you know, I was in Atlanta at the time, but with Mike could tell you this, and that I think he made Aaron Brooks a better quarterback. Now, with McCarthy, having spent five seasons with the Saints as offensive coordinator from 2000 to 2004, he actually, I don't know, Mike disagrees with that, but I think he helped make Aaron Brooks a better quarterback. Mike, would you tend to agree with that or what?
Yes, and also, who else was on that roster? Jake DeLone. And Jake will tell you, he was there, and how much Mike helped him in his development as a quarterback.
And then you look, Jake DeLone, he goes to Carolina.
And goes to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I think if I want a safe pick and not like I'm just going to roll the dice because, look, we're not in the playoffs four straight seasons. We can't make it five. It's going to be tough because I think you got to get the double-digit wins. So we're going to have to go from 5 wins to 10 wins to be in the postseason. I think Mike McCarthy gives you that best option. Now, I think Mickey and all, they're going to interview different people. Is that the direction that they're going to head? You have a dark horse. You know, you have a couple of dark horses that, Mike, I don't know. What do you think, like Joe Brady? Joe Brady's like, I don't know, he's 35 years of age. But the one thing with that offense, and you have to say with the Bills, the quarterback made a difference, and they still play. And, you know, they averaged 6 yards per play. That was number six in the NFL. But he's only been a coordinator experience only 3 years. And me and Mike talked about this. When he was at LSU, Steve Ensminger didn't get enough credit. Steve Ensminger was actually calling the plays, not Joe Brady. Joe Brady was helping. He would help in the red zone and on third down offense and all that. But he was like an assistant to Steve Ensminger at that time. So people think when they won the national championship, it was unbelievable that it was Joe Brady running that offense. And no, he was helping. He was not. Mike, is that? I think that's a true statement because I've talked to Coach O about that.
Yeah, he was the passing game coordinator. So he worked a lot with Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and Thaddeus Moss and Terrence Marshall. And he did work a lot with Joe. So did Steve. The one thing I give Joe a lot of credit, the Bills couldn't run the football worth a damn other than Josh Allen running the ball. And then all of a sudden Joe Brady comes there and he puts in a concept that has some similarities to how they ran the football at LSU. He brought a running game to Buffalo that was not there before him. I give him full credit on that. Listen, coaching Josh Allen, that's not a tough task. But to bring that running game that he did to Buffalo, I got to give him a lot of credit for that because what I see them do is a lot of some similarities to what he did at LSU.
Bobby, since we're talking about the Bills, and I don't want to cut you off, Mike, but I'd ask Bobby about it, so I want to get to it before he's got to run. Speaking of the Bills, we talked to Brad Evans, the Odyssey Sports BetQL insider. He picked the Bills to upset the Chiefs in the AFC Championship and go on to play the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Very quickly, we're running out of time. Your thoughts, who's winning this weekend and who's going to the Super Bowl here in New Orleans?
Well, they have to do it first. I don't know. I think the winner of the Bills, Chiefs games will win the Super Bowl. I'd be a monumental upset, I think, if Washington could beat Philadelphia. But Dave, let me leave you with this. Mike, the young guy that I would like, you know, he's not getting enough credit what he's doing in Philadelphia. No, he has Saquon Barkley, is even offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore, now, was underwhelming when he was with the Chargers, what they were doing. But if you look at that Eagles offense, they finished the regular season with 7 in scoring and 8 in total offense. So Kellen Moore, I would like Kellen Moore, I think, more than Joe Brady. I mean, Joe Brady learned when his experience when he's with the Carolina Panthers, because he was like, oh, he's in over his head. It's not working out. Then you progress. He was like 32 years old. So he continued to grow there. But I think Kellen Moore has more skins in the wall right now than Joe Brady. Now, if you want to go with a really long shot, I'm telling you, this guy knows football. And that he'd be almost like if Mickey Loomis would move up and be an ambassador and still part of the Saints organization, but not the GM, and you wanted some outside influence, David Shaw, the former Stanford coach, David Shaw, you know, he's the senior personnel executive with the Broncos this year, you know, helping out Sean Payton and all. But there are some leaked sources that say the Saints have been interested in interviewing him for the job, maybe as a coach. But David Shaw is one of those guys that are highly thought of around the NFL.
Bobby Hebert, we appreciate your taking a break from your reading and joining us here on WWL. It's going to be another cold night down there. Throw another log on the fire and get another chapter of Age of Revolutions. And thanks so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts with us. We really enjoy talking to you.
All right, Dave. All right, Dave and Mike. Talk to y'all later.
All right.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, did you know, Mike, that he was reading these books?
He tells me what he reads every week. Bob reads a lot of books. He's a historian. He really does read a lot of books on a lot of different subjects. He loves pirates, too. That's another thing with him, but that's a longer story.
All right. Well, speaking of another story, we're going to get back to talking about the weather and its impact on your home coming up next. If you have any questions about your roof, about your pipes, or about anything else as we prepare for another frigid night of potentially hard freezes across the area, Paul LaGrange is with us next, the host of the Home Improvement Show here on WWL, to answer your questions after this on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Dave Cohen, along with Mike Dettillier, want to give a quick shout out. You know, there's been about a dozen of us calling this radio station home for the last several days because of all the closures and our need to have the full team here to do our jobs and bring you all the information. And we were getting a pretty good hankering for a hot meal, and Dickie Brennan's Bourbon House is open and stepped up to the plate and sent us some really fantastic food. So thank you to Dickie Brennan's Bourbon House, and particularly to Devin over there, who was so helpful. We really have enjoyed it. Mike, a lot of people are having questions about what to do in this weather in terms of what if all this snow and ice stays on my roof? What if my pipes burst? What else should I be doing to protect my home, the largest investment I have? So we asked Paul LaGrange, the host of the Home Improvement Show and owner of LaGrange Consulting, to join us here this evening on WWL. How you holding up, Paul?
Good evening. Doing well. Thank you for having me here.
What is the most important thing that you think people should be paying attention to at this point and making sure they do to ensure that they come out of this as best as possible as we're dealing with potentially another pipe-bursting hard freeze tonight?
So if you were very successful in not getting any frozen pipes last night or the night before, whatever method you'd use, whatever hot faucet you turn on at whatever degree of drippage, you want to repeat that again tonight to prevent that from happening. Because last night was our coldest night. It's not going to be as cold tonight as it was last night. So if you were successful last night, then do that again. If you are not successful, and I've had quite a few people call me up today saying, listen, I'm getting cold water at my kitchen faucet, but I'm not getting hot water. And I walked them and coached them through how to get that pipe where it was defrosted, it was no longer frozen, they can get hot and cold. And the last thing I told them, I said, okay, remember tonight, before you go to bed, put that hot faucet on, and it's a fast drip. It's not a stream of water. It's just a fast drip. And a slow amount of water coming through that will greatly reduce the risk of that pipe freezing again. You know, if that's you, then definitely make sure you take those steps to be proactive in preventing those pipes from freezing tonight. Something else, too, that you may want to consider and this is actually something that's taken me the better part of today to take care of, is I have gutters that go around my house, and removing the snow from the gutters, because I live on the North Shore, and in Covington, we got right at 7 inches of snow, and it was a dry, powdery snow, but with today's warming up, it was melting rather quickly. But it's below freezing temperatures tonight, so that ice that is underneath the snow at the bottom edge of my roof and also in my gutters is going to freeze solid tonight. And you'll be surprised that a dry, powdery snow compared to a chunk of ice, the ice is about 3.5 to 4 times heavier than the snow. And your gutters were never designed to be filled and overflowing to the top with ice.
Even the same overnight. Volume. Even the same volume
Even
of
same
snow.
Same wow. volume of, that's right. So it's important that you try and remove that ice from your gutters. Make sure your downspouts not clogged with pine needles or leaves, and have it drained. I even went as far as going around the outer perimeter of my entire home and remove the bottom 3 feet of snow from the edge of my roof. Because what I noticed was that as that snow was melting and it was getting towards the edge of the roof, right before it dripped into my gutters, it would form a dam of ice. And it was preventing the water that was coming down my roof from the melting snow from getting into my gutter can. So in an effort of not having a ice ledge around the outer perimeter of my house, around the whole perimeter of it, I went and removed all that snow in the bottom 2 to 3 feet. So it would have a clear path that when the ice, I'm sorry, when the snow above it started to melt, it would have a clear path to go into the gutter can, go down the downspout and get away from the house and not cause any damage. So if you haven't done that, it's something I would highly suggest you do that tomorrow.
Paul, if someone has a frozen pipe in their wall, and listen, I've heard a lot of different ways to kind of unfreeze it, some Cajun ingenuity, so to speak. But what would be the best advice you give someone that it's not a break, but it's frozen in there, to get things rolling where you can unfreeze that pipe?
Great question. So the first thing you want to do is you want to open up the faucet on that particular sink, the handle, whether it's hot or cold, get it wide open. And then the safest, it doesn't happen very quickly, but this is the safest method, is to take an old-fashioned hairdryer and put a hairdryer on that portion of the pipe that's frozen. And you're not holding the hairdryer in that same spot. You're actually moving the hairdryer up and down or left and right of the pipe, whether it's, you know, vertical or horizontal, and you're slowly melting the ice in that pipe. And what you're going to find that, like I said, it's not a fast process. It may take you 15, 20 minutes to unfreeze that ice in that pipe. It's going to slowly drip, and then it's going to be a little bit faster, and it's going to get to a steady stream. And as that water starts moving through that pipe, it will help melt the remaining ice that's in the pipe. In fact, something else is really common too, Mike, is that when you're doing that, you may get some water running and all of a sudden a big chunk of ice breaks loose and it clogs the pipe again. That's okay. Keep using your hairdryer, keep melting it, and you're going to find over time you'll be able to remove all the ice out of that pipe and get that faucet working freely without any obstruction.
Paul,
I want to make this point. Notice I said a hairdryer, not a blowtorch. You please don't
That's
use
that Cajun ingenuity you're talking about now.
Yes.
Yes, sir. So let's make sure that we're not causing a fire. I would even go as far as not even an electric-resistant heater, like a little standalone heater. I wouldn't even do that. A hairdryer is the best method to use. Yes, it's going to take you some time, but it's the safest method to use.
Paul, one of the things, we have so many elevated homes, no matter where you live, here on the bayou, also in the city and in Kenner, Metairie, wherever people are listening from, is that now with the ability to get the insulated piping material, it doesn't cost you a tremendous amount of money for the material. Now, the labor to get somebody under your home and stuff, I mean, that's part of it. But to me, that is something that, okay, you might not have thought about it 25 years ago, but today you have to think about that
to actually putting that insulation on your pipes, because, man, the way that wind will whip around and freeze up those pipes, you know, you're going to save yourself a lot of money by doing it. Even if you have an existing home today, to get those pipes insulated, if it happens to be in the spring or summer or fall, whatever. But I think it's essential down here to have your pipes insulated.
I agree. And I think it also goes as far as a peace of mind that you get a better night's sleep knowing that you've done everything you can do to protect your pipes, and you can rest assured you're not going to have any issues. But let me say this, and this is really important. In Covington last night, actually this early this morning, it was 12 degrees. When I woke up early this morning, it was 12 degrees at my house. Even my pipes that were insulated, if I was not running water through them, they would freeze. So just because it's insulated doesn't guarantee you're not going to get a frozen pipe. You still have to run water through it. But the insulation buys you some time and buys you some temperature. 12 degrees is just too cold. So we're going to have to run water through that pipe. But on a 25-degree night, you may not have to run your water because it's properly insulated.
Trickle that hot water again tonight. Paul LaGrange, that's the highlighted section that I'm running my highlighter over from what I just heard you say, so that we don't have busted pipes tomorrow morning when we finally start thawing out. Thank you for joining us. I know that folks will be tuning in and have lots of questions for you on the Home Improvement Show this weekend. I'm Dave Cohen, back with Mike Dettillier after this. Mike, folks might be tuning in expecting to hear the Pelicans game starting about now, but they decided to postpone that game. I guess they really didn't have much of a decision.
No, it really wasn't. Now, if you're the Pels, you know, when you lose, it doesn't make a difference. They've won four straight games. Man, you know, if I'm part of that is, man, put me back on the court. Because when you're winning, man, you want to play again. And that time seems to evaporate so fast. But because of the issues, certainly with logistics and getting you downtown and getting you there, you could understand why the NBA and the Pelicans decided to postpone this game.
Yeah, and getting the staff there just for security and concessions.
Correct.
And scoreboard and everything else that needs to be done. So, yeah. All right, when we come back.
It was the right move.
Yeah, and we don't know when that game will be played, but especially for the Bucks, it's important. They're in a real playoff hunt now. They want to play that game, so it will be played down the line. Hold on to your tickets if you got them. After this, Deuce McAllister joins us. We'll talk to him about the AFC and NFC championships, what's going on with the Saints coaches search, and find out how he's been holding up in this winter storm on WWL.